the screen. Looking forward to our time together as we talk about how to handle the lemons of life is what I've entitled today's lesson. Yet I do want to say this, last Sunday was an awesome Sunday. We enjoyed a time with our graduates, our seniors, and we pray that all of you were honored, and we wish you the very best that God has in store for you. Put God first in your life, and Scripture's promise that He will make our paths straight. They're not perfect, but God with us, we can endure and we can handle anything that comes our way in life. Amen? And we shared and enjoyed all that good food. Our church is blessed with some amazing cooks. I was a little concerned because we had so many people last Sunday whether or not we were going to be able to feed everybody. But everybody got food. Everybody had a place to sit. It was truly amazing. So good on you, Suzanne and Claire and all of you that kind of helped organize that. Y'all did a fantastic job as always. And so anyway, I want to say a couple of more things. We have a couple of people that have retired recently from schools. I was thinking about you young people. You've got the summer off. I'm so jealous. I wish I were in your shoes. And that hit me at home the other day when my kids stayed up late last night and slept late this morning and all that kind of stuff. I was like, this is not fair. But so goes life. But anyway, I do hope that all of y'all get plenty of rest and enjoy your summers. And some of y'all are going to some leadership camps at Abilene Christian. And we wish you the best and praying that God will work in and through you so that you can bring the things that you learn and do ministry among your friends here in El Campo. We've got Sunshine Christian Youth Camp coming up. Some of you are doing some sports camps. Some of you are taking trips with family. It's all fantastic. God bless all your time together. But in saying all that, it made me think of, we do have a couple of people that are retiring from our schools. Our church is blessed with school teachers and administrators and people that do amazing things for our communities around. And Mark Poole is retiring from the superintendent job. I can't say, Mark, that's the most popular job in El Campo. I'm glad you're doing well. You look great having endured it. You have been a great and faithful servant to our community. You have brought glory to God. You brought glory to our schools. You have done a fantastic job, and we are grateful. And I just pray that Melanie can endure this new season of life with you. I bet she's looking forward to it. Amen? All right. And then Debbie Ayler. Debbie is, how long have you taught, Debbie? 33 years right here. And Debbie, we congratulate you. You think about the number of young people's lives that and teachers that y'all, who else is retired? Melanie? How did I miss that? Melanie, how many years have you taught? 38 years. Oh, we honor you. That is just great. And so anyway, may that give the rest of you some courage, those of you that are teaching. We know it's a calling. You certainly don't do it for the money. And I pray that God renews your spirit this summer, that you're ready to go this fall and continue to just be God's presence, God's work as you bless these kids. I hope that today's lesson will be a blessing for all of us, how to handle the lemons of life. Let me get to James myself. You got the book of Hebrews, you got James, there we go. James is Jesus' brother. He's the leader of the church in Jerusalem. In verse 1, he says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word servant means slave. He sees himself being a slave of God and Jesus. There is no higher or greater calling in life. A servant of these to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Most scholars believe that James's brethren that he is writing to are Jewish Christians. There, you know, reading from Acts chapter 2, that many of them came to Christ. They were from all over different parts of the world. They came to Christ, and then they scattered back into the various places that they lived. It's likely that James is writing to them, and he says, the 12 tribes. What God has done is he has reconstituted his people. The nation of Israel had how many tribes? They had 12 tribes, and they were the people of God. This is the new Israel, God's new people. that he has constituted in Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, then he uses this word greeting. The verb form of this word greeting simply means this: happy. Like, hey, it's great to see you. You bring me joy when I see you. Which is really interesting, because the next thing that James says is what? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds or all kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Let's talk about for a little bit how to handle the lemons of life. All right. James says, count it pure joy or all joy. If something is all, if you have a metal, precious metal, and it's gold, and it's all gold, if it's 24 karat gold, we would say it is pure gold. That's why we get this word pure. Consider it pure or all joy when you face all kinds of trials, James would say when you look at this. So I want to give you a couple of categories that we all live by in life. There's things that bring us joy is one category that we have in our lives. We also have another category in our lives, and it's called the things that bring us pain, right? And so we've got one side. This side brings me joy, and then you, in your list, you guys could probably think back through the events of this past week. Where did it fall out? Did you have many things that brought you joy? Did you have some? Did you have many things that brought you pain? And the question is, how do the things that bring you pain affect your emotions and your actions? James here says, listen, I want you to rethink about all of life. I don't want you to have two categories, the things that bring me joy. Now, I can list all kinds of things that bring me joy. I can talk about pure joy. There's nobody I know of that has more joy in nature than me. That I would rather be outside in God's creation doing something. It doesn't matter what it is. I love seeing a sunset. I love seeing a sunrise. I like listening to the waves coming in on the surf. I like seeing little baby animals and newborns and mamas and all of this stuff. We have joy in creation. Some of you know about a lot of joy in family, the love between a husband and wife, the birth of a child. And then what else brings you joy, moms and dads? Yeah, that first time they eat real food, and the first time, you're going to get this, Ochoas, it's coming, the first step. And y'all already remember the first dirty diaper among many more. And there's all these new firsts. And even the dirty diaper and all, it brings you joy. It's like, ooh. You know, and the first time they go all by themselves. Their first birthday. I'll never forget Eli's first birthday. Mindy made this cake. And I'll never forget his face as he just sat there and tried to do something with it. You know, everything ended up in the mouth. So put a cake in front of me, it's going to end up in the mouth. Great joy in family. Joy with friends. Making homemade ice cream, amen? Eating homemade ice cream with friends. Is there anything better? Grilling anything, anytime, any place. Pure joy. Are y'all following this? A fire pit with friends, recreating with friends. And then, y'all, there's spiritual joys. Just the joy that comes from making peace with God. Accepting the gift of God's salvation. Remember that joy that just washed over you. Seeing others awakened by God's love and them accepting Christ as their Savior, being baptized into Him, and then worship joys. I mean, joy of joys, worship. And then praying together and praying in silence and praying in isolation. All of these are great spiritual joys. We've got this column of pure joy, but we also often have a column of pure something else. right? You know what I'm talking about? Pure something else. The things that we don't like. The things we don't want to endure. What James is teaching us, for those of us that want to move our lives in the direction of God, what James is saying is, I want you to eliminate one category in your life. I want you to get rid of one category in your life. I want you to get rid of the category of the things that bring you grief and pain. Now that doesn't mean, and James is not saying, that you won't experience disappointment, that you won't struggle from hardship, that you won't suffer, that you won't hurt. At times you won't despair. What James is asking us to do is to grasp the big picture of God. Because James says that anything that comes our way in life can go under the consider it joy category. Now, those of you in the midst of it right now, this is a tough sell. Amen? This is a tough sell. You know, was this fake it till you make it, some kind of psychology here that James is trying to trick us into? You know, just go on and do it. You know, be happy and your heart will follow your directions. And you feel this discord, this disconnect between the way the things I want them to be and the way the things are. And the bigger this gap, the more anger and despair that I have. And I've got my category for all these things that just aren't going well in my life, and they make me what? They make you what? Well, when you have two categories in your life, pure joy, pure pain, you will experience the things that James talks about in this letter. He mentions things about discrimination, economic discrimination in the book of James. He mentions people with anger. He talks about, in the church, people showing favoritism. He talks about people ought not teach, and the reason they ought not teach or take it much more serious is because you can start boasting. Because you have this tongue, and with your tongue you can praise God, and with others you can curse them. And such shouldn't be. And then he talks about bitter envy and selfish ambition, as though life is all about us, and when it doesn't go our way, we get what? When it doesn't go away, we get mad, and who gets to find out that we are mad? Who's going to find out? Well, everybody. What does that do to a church family? When you have two categories in life, the ones that bring you joy and the ones that bring you pain, because you want to express your pain, you want to relieve your pain, you want to do away with the pain, you want to make your pain somebody else's pain, you want to make them pay. And so there was selfish ambition, there were quarrels and fights, there was slander, and in James, he even talks about grumbling. Imagine that. And you see, what God wants us to do, what James is teaching us, is to grow, to hang in there. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials. Will you face trials? He doesn't say when, let me restate that. He doesn't use the word if. There we go. He didn't say if. You see, some Christians have the mistaken belief that once you become a Christian, everything is great. I mean, you're healthy, you're wealthy, you're good looking, you're loved, everybody adores you. You walk into the room, they go, "We are not worthy. You are the most amazing human being on the face of the earth. We just love you." Right? Okay? Well, and then you're disappointed and you're struck hard. And we sometimes get angry at God because we thought, oh, it was all peaches and cream. James says it's when, not if. Because if you live this life long enough, somebody give me a witness, amen. When you live this life long enough, you're going to face trials of many kinds, amen? Amen. You will. But here's how you need to see it. The problem is, do we see it rightly? James says you need to see it because it is a test of faith. It's a test of faith. God is not allowing us testing or suffering in order to break us, but God allows testing and suffering in order to make us. Amen, church family? To make us. Because if your faith is tested, and if you stay true to your faith, what does it do? It produces something. See, a lot of us in America, we want to be couch potato Christians. We want the easy way. I mean, we want it all to be smooth in life. But the testing of faith occurs, and it's such that it produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that we can be mature and complete. Y'all know when products are made, they go through all kinds of testing, right? You know, every product before it comes to the shelf goes through all kinds of testing. I come across advertisements in magazines where it talks about, we put this product through a grueling test, and we worked it over really hard, and here it is. There's nothing wrong with it. This thing is going to be, it's going to last, it's going to endure, it's going to be durable. You can hang in there. When you hang in, my friend, when you hang in, something beautiful occurs. Maturity and completeness. There's no blemishes. It's finished out, right? Norman, you used to be a machinist, right? Norman was a machinist. And a machinist has a tool. It's called a file. It's a very rudimentary, simple tool. And when you put that metal together, sometimes you take that file, and boy, that file is coarse, and it starts rubbing across that metal. And you work that file over the metal, and when you finally finish it up, you finish this product out. It's smooth. It has aesthetic beauty. It has functionality. It does what it was designed to do. My friends, I love what Helen Keller says. She said, the struggle of life is one of our greatest blessings. It makes us potent, sensitive. I'm sorry, it makes us patient, sensitive, and godlike. Although the world is full of suffering, Helen Keller says this, it is also full of the overcoming of it. I think she's understanding what James is saying. Y'all remember in the scriptures in Acts chapter 5 where the apostles were preaching in the temple courts. And they were preaching in the name of Jesus. And the Sanhedrin, the Jewish people in authority and power, didn't want that because they had executed Jesus. They do not want to promote Jesus at all. Well, they're preaching in the temple courts, and there's these miracles that are going, and these vast numbers of people are coming to Christ. And the Sanhedrin calls them in, you know, and they instructed him not to teach in the name of Jesus. And they threw them in jail, all the apostles. Well, during the night, an angel broke them out. And you know what the angel told them to do? Run, get as far as away you can from Jerusalem, and we're going to start somewhere in the outback country. No! The angel says, I'm breaking you out of jail. I want you to get up, get in the morning, start preaching in the temple courts, okay? And I'm thinking, if I'm Peter and the other apostles, the last place I want to be is, you know it, conflict's coming. Sure enough, they call them in. And they question them before the Sanhedrin, and this is when Peter says, you judge for us whether it's right to preach Christ, to preach in Jesus' name, you know, and they continue to preach in Jesus' name. Well, they had the men, all the apostles, flogged. Any of y'all had a flogging lately? Anybody strip you down naked and beat you 39 times across your back, your bottom, and the back of your legs? To where all that was left was enough strength to lay down and breathe. Any of you have that? And it says they rejoiced that they had been counted worthy of the sufferings of Christ. Remember the story of Paul in Philippians? He's in jail and he says, it's actually become known throughout the palace guard that I am in chains for Christ. How could the Green Berets and the Navy SEALs of the day of Rome find out about Jesus Christ? Well, let's put Paul in prison. And Paul rejoices. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 had been beaten severely because they had done something for the goodness of the kingdom of God. And you know what they did at midnight? They were praying. And the scripture said they were singing songs. And the jails were shook, and the doors were opened up. And the jailer come in because he thought his prisoners had escaped. And Paul says, He pulled out his sword and he was going to commit suicide. He was going to kill himself. And Paul says, no, we're all here. And you know, because of that, that severe flogging that Paul and Silas got, and the fact that they rejoiced in their sufferings. They didn't complain. They didn't whine. They didn't gripe. They didn't divide. They didn't establish their own camps of who's against us and who's for us. They praised. And because of that, the Philippian jailer became a Christian that evening. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience and trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. My church family, let me leave an image with you to think about joy. What God wants us to do is to take, and I know some of y'all have been through horrendous challenges and experiences. Many of you have been traumatized at various points in your life. And this is not positive psychology. This is seeing it as it is. Because we know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him. See, you can trust God. And James is asking us to trust God. So joy is this. Considering it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. Joy is like a spiritual filter in our life. What does a filter do in a motor? Right? It keeps the oil pure, clean. Any particles, any little microscopic shavings of metal that can be very damaging to the engine, that can create abrasion and eventually break down, the filter filters all of these things out so that the oil remains pure and productive and the engine works amazingly well. Joy is the spiritual filter for the Christian. Everything is to be run through the filter of joy. James knows that the Christian has the benefit of never losing the big picture. God is going to ultimately, hear this, church family, God is going to ultimately work it out. Do you believe that? And if I trust that God is ultimately going to work it out, do you know what that does for me? Well, I don't get as mad. I don't get as mean. I don't despair as deep. You'll be less discouraged by setbacks and disappointments. You'll be better at adapting to change. How many of you like change, really? But if I know to consider it all joy, you'll find it easier to learn from mistakes and be less fearful about criticism. Because if God is for me, who can be against me? You'll be able to recover quickly from wounds like failure or rejection. When you move into this wise teaching of James to consider it all joy. Well, if you don't, you'll have a church and you'll have a family like James describes in this book, where there's anger and boasting and cursing and envy and ambition and quarrels and fights and slander and grumbling. These are the things that show up in the joyless community. A joyless church and a joyless life is one in which we desperately try to create a perfect life. Let me say that again. I want you to get this. A joyless church and a joyless life is one in which we desperately try to create the way we want it. That's a prescription for less joy. Other people and other things constantly get in our way. Joy comes from certainty in Christ, not certain favorable circumstances. Amen? Joy comes from certainty in Christ, not certain favorable circumstances. Trying to create the perfect life is what many people do. But God isn't trying to create your perfect life, but he is perfecting you. James wants us to count it all joy And for the Christian, there's only one category. It's pure joy. Church family, it may take a while to get there. I think God's patient. I think God's got time. He didn't get stressed out that we're not there yet, but he certainly wants us to be on our way. I pray you're encouraged. I pray that this week that you'll work from one category in life. When the hardships show up, you know, be it a thing or be it a person or a relationship, that you'll say, hey, I'm counting that one in the joy category. Don't know how it's all going to work out, but God's going to work it out. Amen? And be encouraged. If we can serve any of you, we invite you forward while